You can get the Democracy Now! Bumper sticker, this fire engine red bumper sticker, Statue of Liberty, her torture microphone. It's a great bumper sticker to put on your bumper, your car bumper or bicycle or refrigerator or your clipboard or on your computer. It's a great bumper sticker. And it says Democracy Now!, independent TV, radio news, $25 contribution that goes directly to WBAI. $75, you get Black Power mixtape, the documentary. $75, you get the DVD of the interview I do with Danny Glover with the clips of the film. Please call in. We cannot do this without you. Only together. Keep the phone calls coming in. We need your support. We could really use a dinner and a show contribution today. Please call 516-620-3602 or give to WBAI.org. Please call in. Please let us know that you're there. Please let us know you're standing up for independent media. Make that call right now. Fill the phone lines. Your call makes a difference. Please let us know you're there. Please let us know that you're standing up for independent media. Please call 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602. Please call in. Let us know that you're there. Let us know that Democracy Now! Matters to you. Fill the phone lines. That's right. Call in. We've got a number of people calling in. It's the final time, folks. We only have a minute to go. $120, you get both the DVD interview and the documentary. That's $120 or $10 a month. Or pledge $75 for Black Power mixtape. Please call in right now. We cannot do this without you, only with you. Fill the phone lines. The number to call is 516-620-3602. And final time, if you want to come for dinner and a show, I'd love to host you here in New York. You sit on the set of Democracy Now!, watch the broadcast, meet the team that makes it happen, meet the guests in studio. We tour you through the greenest internet TV radio studio in the country. And then I host you personally for dinner. And I can't wait to do that. Please call in 516-620-3602. I celebrate with you and whoever you choose to bring. I can't wait. It's a $2,000 contribution that goes directly to BAI or pledge $25 for Democracy Now! Bumper sticker. Final time, $75 for the remarkable award-winning documentary Black Power mixtape. $75 contribution, $120 for the documentary and the interview. Please call 516-620-3602 or go to online and pledge at givetowbai.org. That's give number two, WBAI.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
Ah, New York City. Countless movies and TV shows have been shot here. And in all those movies, everyone's young and attractive. No one has a real job, but they all live in fabulous, giant apartments on Park Avenue. That is not New York, okay? New York is loud, it's expensive, it's dirty. New York is a crowded subway that never shows up on time. That's New York. And with 13 million people here every day, everyone's got a different story. So tune in here every Thursday from 7 to 8 to hear me, Marie Faustin, share some of my stories and chat it up with some of my favorite storytellers from right here in the melting pot. Careful, it's hot. Every week we'll be serving up stories that'll have you laughing or crying or immediately booking a flight to the city that never sleeps. Don't worry, we'll leave the light on for you.
And you are listening to WBAI in New York City. I'm Catherine Davis. Stay tuned for Heart of Mind, Earth at Midnight. We are here with you live, and we look forward to sharing this program. Stay tuned. And we will be back in just a moment.
Thank you.
Michelle Indiocello, and the name of the song is Earth. And you are listening to Heart of Mind, Earth at Midnight. I'm Catherine Davis in studio with
Matt Mazza.
And thank you, Matt, for coming in to share this time with me and with our listeners.
And thank you for having me.
Because we are here to encourage you who are tuned in to WBAI at this moment, WBAI in New York, to support the radio station with your pledge of support. We're going to offer you some opportunities to receive a gift in exchange of that pledge, but we believe that the radio station is the gift. The broadcast is the most powerful gift of all. And for those of you who would like to get this started before things go too late in the program, you can make your phone call at 516-620-3602. Write that down, 516-620-3602. And if you care to, you can also offer, go to the website, give to WBAI.org. It's another way that you can go in there and take a look at what's available and make your pledge of support. We also offer the most wonderful, really, BAI Buddy. And that gives you an opportunity to become a member of WBAI. But also it gives you the opportunity to really support on a more regular basis so that the station will be more sustained by your support. And we have a number of BAI buddies, and it's building into a community. And you can be part of that community with your ongoing support. It could be a $10 pledge of support, $25 pledge, on up to whatever you would like to support on a monthly basis. And you receive as a gift the BAI Buddy tote bag and the membership card, which has different perks and different things that you can get for that membership card. So please do go to our website, give to WBAI.org. You could also call the number 516-620-3602 in order to make that pledge. On today's program, we're going to be focusing on Paul Robeson, World Citizen. And he is such a remarkable inspiration, an incredible human being. And his legacy is one that should never be forgotten. And we're going to be offering a CD, Paul Robeson, World Citizen. It's only a $60 pledge of support. We're going to play some excerpts from it. But I also have some extra material that we're going to play to bring back the memory and the power of Paul Robeson. So if you can pledge at that $60 level, we encourage you to do that. Paul Robeson, World Citizen. For a $60 pledge, when you call 516-620-3602. And there are other premiums that you could call in and make a pledge to receive. A couple of days ago, last Friday actually, I was on the air with Corinne Frenari of Take Charge of Your Health. And we were covering the amino acids, Perfect Aminos powder. And this is actually a very, very powerful and it's really a good product in the sense that it's so useful and it really does help. I've actually started taking the Perfect Aminos. I actually started yesterday. And because I had been having some issues with joint pain, different kinds of aches and pains. And Matt, you mentioned also that you had that kind of an experience where you were feeling no injury, nothing wrong, but all sort of this breakdown. And you discovered that it was a result of needing protein.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. It's a question of observing. Listen to your body, what it tells you. And this is... See, it all comes full circle, all these different premiums that we have relating to health. Dr. Ali will teach you in his premiums. One that's coming up, by the way, a 2-DVD set on healing. He teaches you how to be your own primary care physician. Now, this is not to say that if you broke a bone or got run over by a truck, that you shouldn't see anyone. No. That's an acute situation that needs attention. Okay, you need some special help. You need a consultation and a little patch-up. So you do that, but in your everyday existence, if you pay attention to what you do and its resultant effect and how you feel, then you can do something about it. If you feel not well and you remember that you ate some not such good food earlier, you spot the fact that, oh, that didn't agree with me. Okay. So you could just take care of that on your own. Things like that.
Yeah, and but then sometimes things occur and you don't really know what the problem is. I'm one who does, who takes fairly good care of my health. And I have a fairly good diet. And I couldn't figure out what was going on that was causing me to have this kind of sense of breakdown, tissue breakdown, muscle soreness, joint pain. And when I actually listened to this interview and I began to see the building blocks of all the everything in our body is the protein and the aminos being the building blocks of protein, I thought, well, maybe this is something that would help. And the truth of it is, within, it was only 2 days ago, and it's already had a very powerful impact for me. And that I have, you know, the joints pain I was having in my knees is almost completely gone in just 1.5 days of ingesting, taking the perfect aminos. So the Perfect Amino Powder XP, Cool Lime Body Health, you could scoop it up and make it in your water. It's a $90 pledge. When you call 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602. And I was looking for Dr. Ali's premium on healing, you say.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not seeing it on the cart. So, I'm not seeing it here. So, it's probably here somewhere. Let me just give it a... There are so many of his premiums here to choose from.
I understand they're going to be doing a special on it Saturday.
Yes. Healing. Dr. Ali's course on healing. It's actually... There's a 6-video digital seminar.
That's a download. That's
so you have to leave your email and you'll be able to get that. And that's a $95 pledge. And then there's the 2-DVD healing package, which is a $100 pledge. So it's, if you want to make that phone call, it's 516-620-3602. Dr. Ali's 2-DVD healing package is a $100 pledge. If you want the course, the download digital seminars, you ask for Dr. Ali's course on healing. It's 6-video digital seminars for your $95 pledge. So those are some premiums that you can pledge for that are going to have an impact on your well-being. So it's really worthwhile to think about making that contribution, because the DVDs or the digital download with Dr. Ali, and when you make that phone call, start with Dr. Ali, A-L-I, and the call center will be able to find it for you. You can ask for the 2-DVD healing package at the $100 level, or the Dr. Ali's course on healing, 6-video digital seminars. That's a download, which might be more convenient, is a $95 pledge of support. For those of you who want to think about your overall well-being and making your getting into that nutritional balance, the Perfect Amino Powder XP is a pledge of $90, and the Perfect Amino XP contains the 8 essential amino acids the body needs to support and maintain its muscular, skeletal, enzymatic, and hormonal systems. So that's really the undergirding of your whole functioning. The essential amino acids in Perfect Amino XP are in the exact proportions needed for maximum utilization by the body. And what's really nice about it is that it's alkaline, so that you don't have to be as concerned with taking in an acidic supplement. It's an alkaline supplement, so that it's not going to cause a lot of debris in your system. So it's a really powerful nutrient. I have been personally using it and have found it to be just starting to use it now. It's giving me helping me with management of fatigue and energy. It's helping me manage joint pain, and it's helping me to actually, the other thing that I've noticed is I had gotten into the habit of taking in sweets as an energy boost, and I'm finding that since I started taking the aminos, I don't have that sugar craving. I have the energy without the sugar craving.
Well, you know what Dr. Ali says about that? Take the sweets, you get a sugar spike, and then you get an insulin spike.
Yeah.
And then one spike too many, and you become insulin toxic.
Yeah.
He explains that so well, how that works.
So, yeah, so this is, you know, we have a lot to offer that you can use as tools and aids for uplifting and maintaining your health. So I do recommend that you take a look at our website if you have the opportunity, either tonight, tomorrow, in the afternoon, in the morning. Go to the website, givetowbai.org, and you can look at the health and wellness category. You'll see there under the 2016 Fall Fund Drive, and you'll find a lot of support there that you will be able to have this contribution back, this gift back to you for your all-important support to WBAI Radio. And make no mistake about it, your support is extremely important for the radio station, and we do ask you to consider making that phone call, 516-620-3602, or going to the website give2wbai.org to show your support for WBAI. And coming up, we're going to be focusing on Paul Robeson, World Citizen. It is a $60 pledge of support for this single CD. Paul Robeson, noted actor and political activist, relates his personal history and views in this 1958 interview with Elsa Knight Thompson of KPFA and Harold Winkler, then president of the Pacifica Foundation. They discuss his life as the son of a former slave, his experience as an expatriate during the 1930s, and his involvement in the civil rights movement, plus his views on socialism and the problems facing emerging African nations. And I'm sure that those problems are still being faced, because rather as many of these nations became independent, they were still tied economically to the ruling powers, and very many of them now are trapped in the same kind of debt cycle that we find ourselves in here in the United States. And there's a lot of poverty because of really vampirism of some of the globalists who are siphoning off the wealth and not really helping the people. So there are still issues in Africa. So I'm sure we're going to learn a lot from Paul Robeson.
Well, that brings to mind the DVD, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. That really shows you how it works.
Exactly. That's a very powerful DVD offered by Greg Palast. And so you can also make that pledge of support for that DVD, and you'll get a real history into what's happening at the very moment in terms of how people's liberties and freedoms are being taken, and how your votes are also being obfuscated. So that is a very powerful DVD. And that's another opportunity to get the updated story, the updated reporting on what's happening in our world. And so I totally encourage you to make that pledge of support. I did offer it. It's a $75 pledge, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. And it is the exciting collection, now revised and updated, brings together some of Greg Palast's most powerful writing of the past decade. But he also exposes the egregious case of political corruption, corporate fraud, financial manipulation in the United States, and he looks behind the scenes of the elections going back to an expose on Jeb Bush with Catherine Harris in the Florida election, stories about George W. Bush's payoffs to corporate cronies, excuse me, and payola behind the current election with the candidates, as well as how systematically your votes are being taken, stolen, disenfranchised. And that's a $75 pledge for the best democracy money can buy. And again, the number is 516-620-3602. So I'm going to start off, though, by sharing with you a very interesting recording. And it really gives the power of Paul Robeson. And it's part of his testimony before the House Committee on Un-American Activities on June 12th in 1956. So this will give a sense of what he went through and why it is that he became an expatriate. And it's very, very powerful. So I invite you to stay tuned and listen to that. And then following that, the actual premium is his interview from 1958, which was created and archived at KPFA, the Pacifica station in California. And, you know, this is really why WBAI, all of the stations of Pacifica, why it's so important that we remain, because this is information that is very valuable as we go forward and understand the underlying systems of oppression that have created the world in which we live. As we go into this portion of the program, I'm going to play an actual piece of music by Paul Robeson, so we can have a sense of his power with regard to music.
Thunder is still by the voice of Uzziah the king. Just as the towering mountain may overshadow the palm tree, so the mountain bowed down to the might of Uzziah the king.
Uzziah lead us to freedom. Uzziah lead us to freedom. Shall die by the spear of Uzziah the king. And from the shadow of darkness I lead my people to freedom. To the end of eternity I am Uzziah the king.
Mr. Robeson, do I have the privilege of asking who's addressing me?
I'm Richard Arend.
What is your position?
I'm director of the staff. Did you file a passport application in July 2, 1954?
I filed about 25 in the last few months.
In July of 1954, were you requested to submit a non-communist affidavit?
Under no conditions would I think of signing such an affidavit. It is a contradiction of the rights of American citizens.
Are you now a member of the Communist Party?
Oh, please, please, please.
Please answer, will you, Mr. Robeson?
What is the Communist Party? What do you mean by that?
Are you now a member of the Communist Party?
Would you like
Party?
To come to the ballot box when I vote and take out the ballot and see?
Mr. Chairman, I respectfully suggest the witness be directed to answer the question.
You are directed to answer the question.
I invoke the Fifth Amendment and forget it.
I respectfully suggest the witness be directed to answer the question whether, if he gave us a truthful answer, he would be supplying information which might be used against him in a criminal proceeding.
You are directed to answer,
Gentlemen,
Mr. Robson.
In the first place, wherever I have been in the world, the first to die in the struggle against fascism were the communists. I laid many wreaths upon the graves of communists. That is not criminal. Chief Justice Warren has been very clear that the Fifth Amendment does not have anything to do with the inference of criminality, and I invoke the Fifth Amendment.
Have you ever been known under the name of John Thomas?
Oh, please, does somebody here want me to put up for perjury someplace? John Thomas, my name is Paul Robeson, and anything I have to say, I have said in public all over the world, and that is why I'm here today.
Mr. Chairman, I ask that you direct the witness to answer the question he's making his speech.
I ask you to affirm or deny the fact that your Communist Party name was John Thomas.
I invoke the Fifth Amendment. This is really ridiculous.
The witness talks very loud when he makes a speech, but when he invokes the Fifth Amendment, I can't hear him.
I have medals for diction. Right. I can talk plenty loud.
Will you talk a little louder?
I invoke the Fifth Amendment loudly.
Sir, who are Mr. and Mrs. Vladimir
Nikiev? I invoke the Fifth Amendment.
Do you know a Manning Johnson?
I invoke the Fifth Amendment.
Do you know Gregory Kifetz?
I invoke the Fifth Amendment.
Do you know a Max Juergen?
I invoke the Fifth Amendment.
Max Juergen.
Why don't you have these people here to be cross-examined? Could I ask whether this is legal?
This is not only legal, but usual. By unanimous vote, this committee has been instructed to perform this very distasteful task.
To whom am I talking?
You're speaking to the chairman of the committee.
Mr. Walter?
Yes.
The Pennsylvania Walter?
That is right.
Representative of the steel workers?
That is right.
And the coal mining workers?
That is right.
Not United States Steel, by any chance. A great patriot.
That is right.
You are the author of the bills that are going to keep all kinds of decent people out of the country.
No, only your kind.
Colored people like myself. And you would let in the Teutonic Anglo-Saxon stock.
We are trying to make it easier to get rid of your kind, too.
You don't want any colored people to come in. Could I be allowed to read from my statement?
Will you just tell this committee, please, while under oath, Mr. Robeson, the communists who participated in the preparation of that statement?
Oh, please. The reason I am here today, from the mouth of the State Department itself, is I should not be allowed to travel because I have struggled for the independence of the colonial peoples of Africa. The other reason I am here today, again, from the State Department and from the record of the Court of Appeals, is that when I am abroad, I speak out against injustices against the Negro people in this land. That is why I'm here. I'm not being tried for whether I'm a communist. I'm being tried for fighting for the rights of my people, who are still second-class citizens in this country, in this United States of America. My mother was born in your state, and my mother was a Quaker. My ancestors, in the time of Washington, baked bread for George Washington's troops when they crossed the Delaware. My father was a slave. I stand here struggling for the rights of my people to be full citizens in this country, and they are not. They are not in Mississippi. They're not in Montgomery, Alabama. They're not in Washington. They are nowhere. And that is why I'm here today. You want to shut up every Negro who has the courage to stand up and fight for the rights of his people, for the rights of workers. And I have been on many a picket line for the steel workers, too. And that is why I'm here today.
Would you tell us whether or not you know Thomas W. Young?
I invoke the Fifth Amendment.
Thomas W. Young is a Negro president of the Guide Publishing Company. I'd like to read you his testimony, quote, Paul Robeson has no moral right to place in jeopardy the welfare of the American Negro to advance a foreign cause. In the eyes of the Negro people, this false prophet is unfaithful to their country, and they repudiate him, close quote. Do you know the man that said that.
I invoke the Fifth Amendment now. Can I read my statement? It is a sad and bitter coming.
While you were in Paris in 1949, Mr. Robeson, did you tell an audience the American Negro would never go to war against the Soviet government?
May I say that is slightly out of context. May I explain to you what I did say? I remember the speech very well. 2,000 students who came from populations that would range to 600 or 700 million people asked me to say in their name that they did not want war. No part of my speech in Paris says 15 million American Negroes would do anything. I said it was my feeling that the American people would struggle for peace, and that has been since underscored by the President of these United States. Now, in passing, I said...
Any people who want war?
Listen to me. I said it was unthinkable to me that any people could take up arms in the name of a man like Senator Eastman of Mississippi against anybody. Gentlemen, I still say that. This United States government should go to Mississippi and protect my people. That is what it should do.
I lay before you, sir, an article. Quote, I am looking for full freedom, unquote, by Paul Robeson in The Worker. July 3rd, 1949, quote, I said it was unthinkable that the Negro people of America or elsewhere could be drawn into war with the Soviet Union. I repeat it with a hundredfold emphasis, they will not, close quote.
And, gentlemen, they have not. It is clear that no Americans are going to go to war with the Soviet Union.
While you were in Stockholm, did you make a little speech?
I made all kinds of speeches.
Let me read you a quotation.
Let me listen.
Do so, please.
I am a lawyer.
It would be a revelation if you would listen to counsel.
In good company, I usually listen. But you know, people wander around in such fancy places.
You said, Mr. Robeson, and I quote, I belong to the American resistance movement, which fights against American imperialism, just as the resistance movement fought against Hitler.
Just like Frederick Douglass and Harriet Tubman were underground railroaders and fighting for our freedom, you bet your life.
I have to insist that you listen to these questions.
I am listening.
I quote further, why should the Negroes ever fight against the only nation in the world where racial discrimination is prohibited and where the people can live freely? Never. They will never fight against either the Soviet Union or the people's democracies, close quote. Did you make that statement?
I do not remember, but what is perfectly clear today is that 900 million people, other colored people, have told you they will not. 400 million in India and millions everywhere have told you that.
The witness has answered the question. He doesn't need to make a speech.
Did you write an article that was published in the USSR Information Bulletin?
Yes.
Quote, I want to emphasize that only here in the Soviet Union did I feel that I was a real man with a capital M, close quote.
I would say, what is your name?
Aaron.
I am quite willing to answer the question. When I was a singer years ago, and this you will have to listen to.
I am listening.
I am a bass singer, and so for me, it was Chelyapin, the great Russian bass, not Caruso the tenor. I learned the Russian language to sing their songs. I wish you would listen now.
Mr. Chairman, I ask you to direct the witness to answer the question.
Just be fair with me.
I ask for order.
The great poet of Russia is of African blood.
Let us not go so far afield.
It is important to explain this.
Did you make that statement?
When I first went to Russia in 1934...
Did you make that statement?
When I first went to Russia in 1934...
Did you make that statement?
In Russia, I felt for the first time like a full human being. No color prejudice like in Mississippi. No color prejudice like in Washington. It was the first time I felt like a human being. Where I do not feel the pressure of color as I feel it in this committee today.
Why do you not stay in Russia?
Because my father was a slave, and my people died to build this country. And I'm going to stay here and have a part of it just like you, and no fascist-minded people will drive me from it. Is that clear?
You are here because you are promoting the communist cause.
I am here because I'm opposing the neo-fascist cause, which I see arising in these committees. Jefferson could be sitting here, and Frederick Douglass could be sitting here. Eugene Debs could be sitting here.
Now, what prejudice are you talking about? You were graduated from Rutgers, and you were graduated from the University of Pennsylvania. I remember seeing you play football at Lehigh. There's no prejudice against you.
Just a moment. This is something I challenge very deeply, that the success of a few Negroes can make up for $700 a year for thousands of Negro families in the South. My father was a slave. and I have cousins who are sharecroppers. I do not see success in terms of myself. I have sacrificed hundreds of thousands of dollars for what I believe in.
While you were in Moscow, Mr. Robeson, did you make a speech lauding Stalin?
I can't remember.
Have you recently changed your mind about Stalin?
What has happened to Stalin, gentlemen, is a question for the Soviet Union, and I won't argue with a representative of the people who, in building America, wasted the lives of my people. You are responsible, you and your forebears, for 60 to 100 million black people dying in the slave ships and on the plantations. Don't you ask me about anybody.
Please. I'm sure you wouldn't want to discuss with us the slave labor camps in the
Soviet
Union.
Nothing could be built more on slavery than this society, I assure you.
I would invite your attention to the Daily Worker of June 29, 1949, with reference to a get-together with you and Ben Davis, formerly communist councilman in New York. Do you know Ben
One
Davis?
One of my dearest friends. He is as patriotic an American as can be. And you, gentlemen, are the non-patriots.
Just a minute.
You are the un-American.
The hearing is now adjourned.
I think it should be.
I've endured all of this that I can.
Can I read my statement?
No! The meeting is adjourned.
It should be.
I'm gonna tell God all of my troubles when I get home. I'm gonna tell God all of my troubles when I get home. I'm gonna tell God all of my troubles. Tell him all of my troubles. I'm gonna tell God all of my troubles when I get home. I'm gonna tell him the road was rocky when I get home.
And that was a special bonus. I wanted to share that with you. It was Paul Robeson in his testimony before the House Committee of Un-American Activities, and it took place on June 12th in 1956. And now we're going to go to the interview. Paul Robeson, noted actor and political activist, relates his personal history and views in this 1958 interview with Elsa Knight Thompson of KPFA and Harold Winkler, the president, the then president of the Pacifica Foundation. They discuss his life as the son of a former slave, his experience as an expatriate during the 1930s, and his involvement in the civil rights movement, plus his views of socialism and the problems facing the emerging African nations. When that was from his perspective in 1958. We're asking for your pledge of $60 to support WBAI and to support this program, Heart of Mind, Earth at Midnight. I'm Catherine Davis in studio with Matt Mazza. And we're asking you to make your call, 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602, and asking for a pledge of $60 for the CD, Paul Robeson, World Citizen. And you could also go to the website, give to wbai.org. We're going to play some excerpts from this CD. Won't be able to share it all, but hopefully it will give you the inspiration to make that phone call, 516-620-3602, Paul Robeson, World Citizen. It is only a $60 pledge of support to help sustain WBAI so that we can continue to give and to record poignant moments such as this with Paul Robeson.
The following program is brought to you by the Pacifica Program Service and Radio Archive.
I have in the studio with me Paul Robeson, who needs no introduction, and Harold Winkler, who is president of Pacifica Foundation, which operates KPFA, as most of you know. Mr. Robeson has been known and loved as an artist all over the world for many years, but he has also, I believe, attracted considerable and worldwide attention in his role as a world citizen and as a person who was very deeply concerned about the society in which he lived. I wonder, Mr. Robeson, if we could kick off by asking, when did you first become involved in the political aspects of...
May I first say how happy I am and privileged to be with you here, and how deeply I thank this station for its kindness throughout the years. I've been on two or three others this time, but always have been know I've had a welcome here, so I want to thank you. I would say, as I indicate in a recent book which is now out, will be on the stands pretty soon, Here I Stand, Story of My Life as I Tell It, not too autobiographical. It began when I was a little boy in Princeton, New Jersey. Strange to say. Technically, this is the shaping of my views. A Negro boy born in Princeton, New Jersey, in a college town where the students mainly came from the Deep South. You know, Princeton and Princeton, Harvard, and Yale was the sort of the Southern University of the North, whether you know that or not. And so I grew up in Jersey in a rather Southern atmosphere. And my father was a minister, and I was shaped against that background. Technically, I entered the sort of the arena in the United States of fighting for social justice for my people in a concert, when I was in a concert in St. Louis in 1947, in the Post-Dispatch, where I was singing at the Kiel Auditorium, one of the big auditoriums there, and the NAACP asked me in St. Louis at that time to come on a picket line because Negro people could not even sit in the theater, which was just across the street. And so I grabbed a banner, and lo and behold, I saw Walter Houston coming down the street. He was in the play. So Walter walked out and joined the picket line, too. And a few nights later, when I was doing the concert, I said that I could not quite resolve the contradiction between singing to an audience in St. Louis, where there was no segregation, of course, but also the same people had not, to my mind, were not fighting to see that my people could sit in the theater. It's been corrected since. And so I said that I was giving up my career technically for the moment to enter the realm of the day-to-day struggle of the Negro people especially.
And this was your first political action?
That was within this context. This is very important to get in the context. My first actual, to come back to your question, was in London in 1933. It isn't very well known, which I clarify in the book, that I went to play Showboat in London in 1928. Jerry Curran was with me and Oscar Hammerstein, and we had a great success. And then I did concerts in 1928, and I became domiciled and lived in England, domiciled there, paid my taxes there from 1928 until 1940, after the war began.
Does this mean, Mr. Robeson, that you spent most of your time in England during this period?
It meant that I came back now and then for concerts. I was here in Oakland many times, but I went back and spent most of my time in Great Britain.
That's perfectly true.
I was there in 1930, played Othello. So again, this is extremely important. At that time, I said, for the public to see, that I felt, I would explain it today in this light. We understand why many of my people have come to Oakland, to the vicinity, from Mississippi and from the South. There have been migrations into California, I understand today, from everywhere. But for many years, as you know, many of my people have left the South because the conditions in the North were better. Okay, I felt the pressure so much in 1928 that instead of stopping in New York, I just went on to London. Hmm. That clear.
And did you feel no pressure there in sense?
I felt nowhere near the pressure. Now, that does not mean that you haven't the background of the English colonies and so forth.
Yes,
but
I wonder.
But I say it's a difference between right here now and, say, let's say, the Mississippi of Mr. Eastland. You understand?
Yes.
This is quite different. So America's quite different. There are great differences. So I found England that much more of a difference, that's all. Hmm. I found Canada that way. When I was playing Othello some years ago, when we got to Toronto, the cast said to me after a week, "Well, Paul, why are you so different? The play is much deeper. You seem to be freer." I said, "That's quite true." That's quite true. I'm in a country where there is no, this is not a question. I'm on a theater, on a stage with many other white actors. This is not a problem here. So obviously I feel freer, that's right. I'm in a different, but I don't feel the pressures that one would feel in the Deep South all the time, but it would interest you to know, and I've put it, that I, and I feel any Negro, if he were honest, would have to say that even in our democracy as at present, that he is never any one second unconscious of the fact that he is a black American or a colored American. He can never be unconscious of it in any part of the United States.
Mr. Robeson, have you been back to England since the last war?
Oh, yes, I was back in 49.
The point I wanted to get at is that when I was in England last year, I became aware of the large number of West Indians who are now London. Yeah. And I heard rather nasty overtones my talks with some Englishmen that frightened me.
No question
about a change that might take place in England.
No, again, if you want to go further into it, nothing could be worse than South Africa. And I'm only saying, I put these things down. What is most important is that at the height, having lived many years out and enjoying the height of success in Great Britain, that I decided that I must come back to my own country to struggle in this and to make the sacrifices that I have. That's the most important thing in this regard. And I am here.
Now, wait, would you spell this out again for me? You left England because England is not as attractive or because you feel you have a greater mission in the United States?
No, no, no. Let's don't get into that. There are many places in the world where, personally, it would be much easier to live than in the United States for an American Negro.
In other words, your commitment is definitely to what you feel you can do in this country.
That's right. And Langston Hughes, in a book discussion before the book club in New York just a while ago, pointed out that every important Negro novelist, not only Richard Wright, but many others, that the great 95% of them live in Paris or somewhere else in the world. Mm. Why? Because the pressures personally are much simpler.
And yet in the foreword of your book that I have before me, you quote Frederick Douglass as saying, "A man is worked on by what he works on."
That's right.
"He may carve out his circumstances, but his circumstances will carve him out as well."
That's right.
Is this part of the reason why you feel that you must be back in the United States?
I made the decision some years ago, and I say certainly that I spring essentially from here, like you threw the other day about the Indians in North Carolina. If you recall, that was in Robeson County.
Yes, I noticed that in the item.
Now, this is a very interesting thing which I point out in my book and which explains a good deal, too, of how I feel. Now, I was born on the edge of Robeson County, and my father is a Robeson and was a Robeson because he was a slave, my own father, a slave of the Scottish Robesons who still control Robeson County in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. So I approach these problems from a very close point. But I have a home, and my people are tobacco workers and sharecroppers today on plantations in that county. But a part of that soil belongs to me. That's my roots. These are my roots in this country. On the other hand, also, I felt that somewhere the contributions that I had could make some contribution from my background traveling about the world. However, I never expected, I am quite willing to say, that I would be restricted from traveling.
Yes.
Well, tell me, Mr. Robeson, was your commitment to the political scene then largely as a result of your feeling about your own people, or our own people, let's put it?
Yeah.
Or did it have other overtones of political conviction?
First it starts as an American Negro interested in my own people. The other great change is very constant in my mind. I was in the Welsh Valley, and the Welsh people sing very much like we do in the Negro people.
Yes, I've heard
many
them.
Of our songs, beautiful songs. And I was one of the few outsiders who has sung at a Welsh Eisteddfod, their national festival, which has gone on since the time of the Druids. And I went down in the mines with the workers, and they explained to me that, "Paul, you may be successful here in England, but your people suffer like ours. We are poor people. And you belong to us. You don't belong to the bigwigs here in this country." And so I today feel as much at home in the Welsh Valley as I would in my own Negro section, any city in the United States. And I just did a broadcast by translated cable to the Welsh Valley a few weeks ago. And here was the first understanding that the struggle of the Negro people, or of any people, cannot be by itself. That it is a human struggle. And so I was attracted then to met many members of the Labour Party, and my politics embraced also the common struggle of all oppressed peoples, including especially the working masses, specifically the laboring people of all the world. And that defines my philosophy. It's a joining one of we are a working people, a laboring people, the Negro people. And there is a unity between our struggle and those of white workers. In the South, I've had white workers shake my hand and say, Paul, we're fighting for the same thing. And so this defines my attitude toward socialism and toward many other things in the world. I do not believe that a few people should control the wealth of any land, that it should be a collective ownership in the interest of all.
Is that a democratic socialism, or?
I would have to be a democratic socialism. There are many ways, however, to struggle toward democracy, as I see that in a place like China, for example, today, the Soviet Union, many other places, or take our own problems of Negroes. If we were free in the South tomorrow to carry our weight, to vote into everything, would we now look around and try to find the 10 billionaires among our people? Would we attempt to build them up? Or would we try to answer the needs of the great millions of our people? And so I see other ways of life, socialism, as trying to solve the problems of millions and tens of millions of peoples at once, in a way, instead of we would start from the individual to the masses, they start from the masses this way. Now, there are two ways, and there are difficulties each way. I have made the decision to join in a collective struggle, and the reason that my personal sacrifices mean very little in the struggle, in one way, when you see the children of Little Rock, what does not giving a few concerts mean if you can make some other contribution? It's in that context. So nothing is perfect in the world. We're going toward it from different angles. I feel there's a great burden of proof on every society, on our own as well today.
Mr. Robeson, some years ago, I was talking to a French member of the Communist Party.
Yes.
And in the course of our discussion, he said to me, you, Mr. Winkler, are a Jeffersonian Democrat.
Yes.
You can afford it in your rich land. Yes. But in my land and in other lands, we must give up our freedom now to certain men in order to achieve freedom for our children in the future. This is an act of faith for me, he said, mm-hmm. giving up my freedom now. Mm-hmm. Do you find yourself sympathetic with...
I don't think that is, I would put it quite differently, nor do I think that's any part of any socialist philosophy or communist philosophy, as far as I know, that we struck it during the war under Roosevelt, for example. We had to give up many privileges. They're practically telling us we have to do that again. I mean, in any sort of a war economy, in England, for example, they have not eaten eggs almost for years and years because of certain pressures. And it seems to me in the socialist lands, the Soviet Union, China, and many places, that's quite true. It's one thing to say today that they don't have as shining apparel as we do, but they have made tremendous scientific progress. And within one generation, so to speak, within 40 years, have become one of the most powerful countries in the world. Now, they've done it by great sacrifices, and not by, to my mind, they feel that the country, in one sense, the man in the street, may not in every essence belong to him, but he feels it's much more his than, say, I do in Charleston, South Carolina, when one Southern American Negro explained to me that I was in the state of our great plantations. I said, are you sure about that, our great plantations? I don't feel that they're my plantations. But in one sense, some of the people in the socialist lands feel that the country does belong to them in a real sense. Now, and as far as the basic concept of the dictatorship of the proletariat and so forth, isn't it? I would say, again, bring it back to our own history. There was, as we know, a dictatorship of the North over the South in the days following the Civil War. When that dictatorship was removed, the colored people reverted practically into a kind of servitude. I could have conceived of a dictatorship over the South for quite a longer period, from my point of view, quite frankly. So this is understandable.
Yes. In your book, Mr. Robeson, Here I Stand, you have a chapter entitled The Power of Negro Action.
That's right.
What are some of the specific acts which you recommend, and perhaps in the order of priority? Yeah.
Well, I say in any Negro life, you would say that nobody, this seems to be rather startling to many of my friends, nobody would be startled, say, with taking the vote of the power of Italian action, or Polish action in Detroit, or Catholic action in New York, and so forth. I mean, that the vote would be a block, and the power of the Negro vote in the North in certain states. This is one very important aspect. Very clear. A kind of... we have tremendous economic power in this land today. There should be tremendous support of Negro business, of Negro banks and so forth, loan associations and so forth. But the prime thing is that I'm convinced that... Yes.
Taking this last illustration of yours, have you not found that as Negro bankers become richer, that they grow away from your people?
No, I don't. I
do they remain a part of total Negro action?
There's no way for, as I said before, for any American Negro, however wealthy, however famous, to be anything at this period of our history at some point than an American Negro.
If he doesn't know it, I can see.
If he doesn't know it, he'll find it out.
From a racial standpoint, Mr. Robeson, but from the political standpoint of socialism, which you were discussing a few moments ago, surely a Negro capitalist, if he had the opportunity, would undoubtedly behave according to the lights of his own.
He has to, but
business.
But I know many of the most wealthy, and they often I feel that they don't help as much as they should. But he's forever conscious. His children suffer the same things as the poor Negro's children, and at some point, he finds a way to help. Mm-hmm. It's a little different even there. But that is
in other words, you feel it tracks through in a different way.
But I'm really not. What I'm trying to say is that. Is that somewhere for our own dignity, I see, that is Africa, would you understand, Ghana today, unifying as a, with its own sort of, you know, nationalist strength. Is that clear?
Yes. Yeah.
I feel in America, strange to say, especially in the South, that, even with all the goodwill of white liberals in the country, that it's very important for the Negro people to know what they want and to unify to do it. Often in a very simple case of fighting segregation, one group of Negroes can be drawn aside because of political pressure, other pressures. We should unify, too. We should unify.
Yes,
I feel there's got to be a unity in order to integrate. That's what I feel. I feel that we just can't integrate as individuals.
Yes. But isn't the example of Liberia, for example, a sorry example, as it said against Ghana?
Well, yes, because that's a very simple. The Firestone has taken care of that. It has been exploited to its hilt by Firestone rubber, if you don't know the facts.
Yes, right. It still remains, then,
right.
An economic
and
question.
And so has Ghana.
Than a racial unity question. It remains an economic question in its fundamentals rather than the unity
Ghana
of the
also,
Negro people.
Ghana has the unity of its own nation, same as Chinese or Indians, very close to India.
Sweetest little fellow, everybody knows, don't know what to call him, but he's mighty like a rose. Looking at his mammy with eyes so shiny blue, make you think that heaven is coming close to you. When he's there sleeping in his little place, think I see looking through the lace. When the dark am falling, when the shadows creep, then day comes on tiptoe to kiss him in his sleep. Sweetest little fellow, everybody what to call him, but he's mighty like a rose. Looking at his mammy.
And you're listening to WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM, WBAI.org. And we have been listening to the work of Paul Robeson, and I want to invite you to please make your phone calls and show your pledge of support. That number to call is 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602. And we have been inviting you to make your pledge of support and to offer to the radio station a pledge in the amount of $60. And for that $60 pledge, we will thank you with a copy of the CD, Paul Robeson, World Citizen. So when you call, ask for Paul Robeson, World Citizen. The number is 516-620-3602. And this is a very powerful person who had a tremendous impact, who made tremendous sacrifice, who had a brilliant career, but truly understood what his values were, what he cared about, what he supported with his life. And you can see that in the political activity that he engaged in making choices, in speaking up to power. The speech we started with in this segment, we were offering you the testimony of Paul Robeson before the House Committee on Un-American Activities. Very powerful speech from 1956. And then we've been sharing with you, as adjunct to that, the segment that is an excerpt from the premium for your $60 pledge of support. And it is Paul Robeson, noted actor and political activist, relates his personal history and views in this 1958 interview with Elsa Knight Thompson of KPFA and Harold Winkler, the then president of the Pacifica Foundation. They discuss with Paul Robeson his life as the son of a former slave, his experience as an expatriate during the 1930s, and his involvement in the civil rights movement, plus his views of socialism and the problems facing the emerging African nations. It's a very powerful CD. It needs to be in every library. This is especially true if you have children or grandchildren who don't have that strong connection to who they are, to the historical strength that is not really taught in schools. Now, we do hear about Paul Robeson, and we know of his work, but I didn't learn of it in school. And I think that it's important that we have this material available to ourselves. When, you know, you look at your children and your grandchildren and your nieces and your nephews, and you see them out in the world struggling with police violence, or you see them not really comprehending, connecting to the legacy that is inherent in the color of skin, and may not quite understand why it is that they're facing these issues as they walk through the world. Well, it's very important for young people to connect to the history, to not just connect to the history, but connect to it in a powerful, righteous way. With someone such as Paul Robeson, it is pride-inducing. It is inspiring. It brings forth courage and understanding of what it takes to be true to yourself, to have real care and values about yourself, about your people, about their community. He speaks about the interrelationship of people beyond the barriers of race. So this is something that every child really needs to hear. Certainly every young person needs to hear, despite color of skin. But I believe that certainly all of us who do have black, brown, red skin need to listen to this information to really understand what it takes to stand up to power. It's something that comes from the soul. It comes from the essence of a person, and it comes forth certainly in the spirit of Paul Robeson as a fearless encounter of engagement, standing up for truth, standing up for what's right. And this is a very beautiful illustration of that. Paul Robeson World Citizen. It is inspiring on every level, I believe, to every being. This is something that we need to hear because we have our own issues in our own time where we have to begin to stand up and fight and speak up for what is right, defending the planet against destruction, defending communities against globalization and crippling debt, defending civilizations against toxic war, wars that are based on exploitation and financial gain for the few, and we end up destroying countries, destroying civilizations, destroying families, destroying lives. And we really need to take a look at the world we're living in from a historical perspective and from the perspective of real personal power. Paul Robeson, World Citizen. It's a CD for your $60 pledge. Make that phone call, 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Make that pledge of support. Support WBAI, which was there in 1958 to actually create and to record this interview. Pacifica, KPFA and Pacifica created this interview. A great deal of what we hear in the Pacifica archives came from WBAI here in New York City. And this is really an underpinning for liberation, for freedom, freedom of thinking, political freedom. And we need this venue during a time when the mainstream media has been completely rolled up into a very small influence of power, and when we don't get access to the true story, the behind-the-scenes stories. WBAI Pacifica is absolutely needed during these times. We need to be stronger than we are, and we can only do that with your support. The number is 516-620-3602. Remember that you can do this. You can do this with your support either by phone. You can call that number, 516-620-3602, or you can go to the website, give2wbai.org. And we're offering you Paul Robeson World Citizen CD for your pledge of $60. And this is a very powerful historical record that is part of the Pacifica Radio archives that we're offering you today here on WBAI so that you can support the radio station, the network that makes this kind of material possible, so that we can continue to do these interviews today and continue to look at the impact of globalization on our lives right now. And it's interesting, in the age of Paul Robeson back in the 50s, early 60s, it was very stark, it was very clear, the race divisions, and it was massive. Then we went through a period where it didn't seem like it was as much an issue. Once we got past the civil rights movement, it looked like there was going to be progress. But when we look, really, really look at the situation, we can see that there's still this need with the Black Lives Matter movement and the hostility against people of color in from the state, from the police. So there's a systematic state violence that has been inculcated in the consciousness of the powers that be, of the police powers, of the political powers. So this is an ongoing issue, and we need to be able to understand the kind of internal self-power it takes to confront these kind of issues. The number is 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Only a $60 pledge of support, and you'll receive this CD. Paul Robeson, actor, political activist, and he relates his personal history in this CD. So please do make that phone call. Go to the website, give2wbai.org. Make that pledge of $60. Remember, you can use your cards, credit card, MasterCard. You can use debit card, as a debit card. If you like Visa, American Express, whatever it is, you can go to that phone number, 516-620-3602, and make that pledge of support. You can go to the website, give2wbai.org. You can pledge online for Paul Robeson, World Citizen, the CD. Or remember that you could also, when you make that phone call, 516-620-3602, you could also ask for an invoice. You could send a check or money order if you prefer to do it that way. You can also ask, maybe want to do it installments, $230 installments to be able to receive the CD, Paul Robeson, World Citizen. But the idea is to support WBAI. If you would like another premium, by all means, pledge for whatever your heart desires. Perhaps you want to be a WBAI buddy, and you can do that for an ongoing pledge of $10 a month or more, and you receive the beautiful bag, the WBAI tote bag, as a thank you gift, along with a membership card that gives you discounts at various institutions in the city. Hold up. Yes.
Oh, you know, it reminds me of an early premium by Tom Wolfe that we offered, Silent Power. I don't know if that's still on the website. But in this interview that Jeff Brady does, he talks about the concept of standing tall etherically. Now, this is a very interesting concept, kind of holding your own. You have your own knowledge of your own spiritual power, and you come from that place, from that position. And when you hear Paul Robeson speak, when he was being grilled by these questioners, interrogators, you know, are you a member of the Communist Party? He's just holding his own. He has a certain power, a certain force. And you see this when he speaks, when he sings, you get a sense of this.
It's very true. And the power, he does have that incredible bass voice, but the power is coming from his soul. The power, when he was speaking to the House on American Activities, was an internal power. It was like a real standing up for what was right. And he took that stance throughout his entire life. And he suffered, he sacrificed for it, but he never stood down from that perspective. And I think that we can all be inspired by the work that he did and understand that we have to keep moving forward with this work. Paul Robeson, World Citizen, it's a CD. We're only asking for a $60 pledge. Make that phone call, 516-620-3602, and ask for Paul Robeson, World Citizen. You can go to the website, give2wbai.org, using number 2, give2wbai.org, and you can also make that pledge online. If you're going to make that pledge, it would be great, much appreciated, if you could make a donation in the name of the show, Heart of Mind, because it's become difficult to do the kind of fundraising that's expected in the hours that the program is normally on the air. It comes on Wednesday into Thursday morning at midnight, and we go through to 1:30 a.m. It's a powerful, beautiful program, but it's difficult, and we do need to have something on the meter to have recognition that the program is being listened to and is supported. So anything you could give would make a significant difference at this time. So please make that phone call. You could do it now. Perhaps you want to do it a little bit later. But if you do that and pledge in the name of Heart of Mind, then people will know, there are listeners and supporters of this program. And in the world of media, it's always good to be able to sustain oneself and to show that there is support for the program. So I would be grateful for anyone who could do that. But we are also hoping that you will support WBAI for its own sake, for the work that it does ongoing, for its beautiful and rich history, and for the potential of what we can do and what we must do as we go forward. We can only do it in partnership with each other, the producers, the radio station, the network, and you, our listeners. The number is 516-620-3602. At the $60 level, it would take a lot of pledges to get to the goal that's expected. So I'm not sure what's possible with that, but I know that we can get along our way if you make that phone call now. If we could just get five callers in the next 5 minutes, it would make such a significant difference. The number is 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602, and we're asking you to pledge $60, just $60, to support WBAI, because we need to have premium offers, gifts, that you can receive that are reasonably priced, that you can manage. But also the beauty of this premium is that it is produced by the Pacifica Radio Archives, which means that it is readily available. And in fact, Matt is here, and I understand that there are copies of this in-house.
Yes, there are.
And so you can make that pledge and have reasonable expectation of receiving it. I know Matt is very diligent, and our other volunteers are very diligent about sending out premiums. And when we have it in-house, they go out.
Absolutely.
And so the number to call is 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602. Paul Robeson, World Citizen. And I'm going to share with you a little music by another world citizen, Sarah Thompson, from her CD Somewhere to Begin. And we're going to play Is It for Freedom? And hopefully I am anticipating that this will inspire you to make that phone call and make that pledge. 516-620-3602.
Rulers of the nations, as you fuss and fight over who owns this or that and who has the right to design, build, sell and store and fire all the bombs and guns to defend your holy empire. There are children hungry, children sick and dying. There are mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers crying. They're only pawns in your play of power and corruption. Slowly starve them, your new weapon of mass destruction. And prove to me, America, that you care. And prove to me, America, you're aware. Who's dying for your freedom in this land? Who pays the cost for the liberties you demand? Is it for freedom or our comfort and convenience? Is it to profit for big business we pledge our allegiance? Are we prisoners in the land of the brave and the bold, held by indifference or hearts grown hard and cold? And prove to me, America, that you care. And prove to me, America, you're aware. Who's dying for your freedom in this land? Who pays the cost for the liberties you demand? Children of the world, you have the right to sing and dance, run and play. Let your dreams take flight as the innocent die, you rulers carry the shame. And if we stand idly by, we share in the blame. And oh, America, do we care? Oh, America, are we aware? Who's dying for our comfort in this land? Who pays the cost for the convenience we demand? Children of the world, you have the right to sing and dance, run and play. Let your dreams take flight.
And that was Sarah Thompson. And the name of the CD, could I grab that for a second? Is Somewhere to Begin. Sarah Thompson, Thomsen, and she is a incredible singer composer, and I find her very inspiring, and I hope you are inspired, because this is the question we have to ask ourselves: are we going to be indifferent, or are we going to stand up for what's right? And at this moment, the right thing to do is to support WBAI so we can continue doing this work. It's so important that this megaphone for the truth continue to exist, continues to be a media presence. We may not be as big as the megaliths, but it is WBAI from which Democracy Now! Was birthed, you know, Law and Disorder. So many programs that are having a real impact in the world came from this radio station. A lot of the media that we have, the historical records that we have, came from this network, from the five stations. When you make your phone call, you make it possible for this work to continue so that we can do and support those reporters and media people who have a backbone in the work that they're doing. The number to call is 516-620-3602. We're asking for your pledge of $60, just $60, for the Paul Robeson World Citizen DVD. There are other premiums that you can pledge for if you would like. We also spoke about the best democracy money can buy, and this is a DVD by Greg Palast. It's a $75 pledge, and he really goes into the whole stealing of the elections, the stealing of power, how the money lobbyists are controlling our actual destiny. And we need to take this destiny back, but we can only do it by being informed, by collaborating with each other, by supporting a network that's going to make it possible for you to hear the truth. The number is 516-620-3602. We're almost out of time. We ask you to call and make that pledge. You can also go to the website, give2wbai.org, and make that pledge of support. Pledge at the $75 level for the best democracy money can buy. Pledge at the $60 level for Paul Robeson, World Citizen, or you can pledge at any level for one of the other premiums, one of the health premiums, whatever would enhance your life, your experience, your capabilities, and your knowledge. You can choose that gift by going to give2wbai.org.
You know, one comment is that people sometimes tell me when I show them this stuff that, well, yeah, you know, but I don't like to look at all this because it's too depressing. You know, I understand that point of view. But after being around here and meeting so many people that are involved, you begin to see how effective exposing what some of these people are doing it may be disturbing, but you see very powerful movements springing up from this. For instance, Ken Gale with Ecologic. He speaks in so many places, and he does such effective work that this has been instrumental in holding back hydrofracking, where people's water supply is literally ruined.
Exactly. And the Black Lives Matter movement has been very much integrated into BAI and Pacifica. And so we're out of time, but we want you to know that your contribution really matters. And the information we're sharing is for you to educate yourself, but also for you to be an educator, to be able to open up the eyes and the minds of the people in your life, the people around you, in the schools, the young people in your life, the people who have influence, who are making choices that are going to have an impact on our future. Unless we as citizens stand up, as Paul Robeson did, we're going to be living in a very ugly world. Climate change is real. We can see that. We felt it this summer. Violence in the streets is real. War is real. The degradation of the earth is real. We must stand up and make a difference. And this is why we're asking you to show your support. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. We're going to play another Sarah Thompson piece. And I think we're going to go a little bit upbeat, and we're going to go to Somewhere to Begin. Because the truth of it is, we have to begin somewhere. And your beginning, your contribution, could be to offer that support that allows all these activists to be supported in bringing the information forward and sustains the media outlet, the rare media outlet in this country that is not supported by the globalists, but is supported and is designed to support you, your life, your community, and the health of the planet, the health of the world. It's, we all have to do this. We have to stand up for it, and we have to do what we can. So make that phone call and make a pledge. Do what you can. 516-620-3602. And I'm going to play one piece, more piece with Sarah Thompson. And it's the title of the CD, Somewhere to Begin. And I thank you all for calling and supporting, and who will continue to call throughout the day, throughout the night, and throughout the evening to show your support for WBAI. Thank you.
People say to me, oh, you gotta be crazy. How can you sing in times like these? Don't you read the news? Don't you know the score? How can you sing when so many others grieve? People say to me, what kind of fool believes that a song will make a difference in the end? By way of a reply, I say a fool such as I, who sees a song as somewhere to begin. A song is somewhere to begin. Search for something worth believing in. If changes are to come, there are things that must be done, and a song is somewhere to begin. People say to me, oh, you gotta be crazy. How can you dream times like these? Don't you read the news? Don't you know the score? How can you dream when so many others grieve? People say to me, what kind of fool believes that a dream will make a difference in the end? By way of a reply, I say a fool such as I, who sees a dream as somewhere to begin. A dream is somewhere to begin. The search for something worth believing in. If changes are to come, there are things that must be done. And a dream is somewhere to begin. And people say to me, oh, you gotta be crazy. How can you love in times like these? Don't you read the news? Don't you know the score? How can you love when so many others grieve? People say to me, what kind of fool believes that love will make a difference in the end? By way of a reply, I say a fool such as I, who sees love as somewhere to begin. Love is somewhere to begin. The search for something worth believing in. If changes are to come.
From New York, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Got my mojo working, but I just don't work on you.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today.
Now, here's what we got for you. Brand new. In fact, so brand new that it's about a month, exactly a month, from tomorrow, on the 27th, I'm featuring this on some PBS stations, but I got the publisher to make this available for BAI exclusively early. Not only that, but this is going to be offered for about half the price that it will be offered at on PBS stations. This is a big book, brand new. It's over 1,100 pages. That's bigger than a phone book. And it's called The Healthy Woman, Healthy Life, A Woman's Book of Healing, and with myself and Amy McDonald. And not only that, but you also have 32 pages of full-color recipes, and this has taken several years to research and write. And it's yours for only $75.
Wow.
It's going to be $150. You heard me right, $75.
Wow.
And that money will then pay for the premiums. And we intend to get this out real fast to you. Now, let me just tell you some of the stuff that's in this book and why I believe every man and woman in this audience should be interested in this. Because first, I got a group of women and asked them through WBAI, what are the issues interesting to you? And then in a series of lectures I did around the country in the last 2 years, I asked the same thing. Would you write on a card, what issues do you find important enough that you would like to see some solutions that are natural, non-toxic? And from all these thousands of inputs, I then made the outline of the book. And then I wanted to give people the natural, non-toxic approach. Now, here are some of the, from the first section, everyday health. First, what is the ideal diet? The diet that allows us to live a longer life, to protect our health, to protect the DNA of our cells. I talk about the kind of food you should put in that's healthy and what you shouldn't put in because it's not. And then weight control. We have a massive problem in America with weight. In fact, 50% of all adults in the United States are pre-diabetic or diabetic. That was a study that's out 2 months ago. But also one-third of all adults are obese or overweight. And that shortens your lifespan. You're more likely to die up to 8 years earlier than if you were at your ideal weight. Exercise, pain management. Pain's a big issue. And a natural medicine cabinet. For example, people have something happen. You know, you get a cut, a burn. What do? You get some poison ivy out in the hiking. What do? You don't want a chemical antibiotic because it could really devastate your natural biome in the intestine. But you got an infection. You need to have it dealt with. So what I did was I looked at the best single things that you could put in your medicine cabinet. Such things as aloe vera, astragalus, burdock root, cryptococcus, dandelion, echinacea, estonia. By the way, estonia is a lichen that grows on trees throughout the world, and it's been found to be more powerful than penicillin. And the inner white thread is an immune enhancer and an immune stimulant, and the outside green part is strongly antibacterial. And garlic. Most people are not aware of this. But garlic not only stimulates the immune system, but also serves as an antibacterial, antiviral, and antifungal element. It's a mild natural antibiotic, and that increases the activity of the natural killer cells, so they're better able to fight off viruses and tumor cells. And it's beneficial to take garlic every day as a preventative measure and to enhance your well-being. Also, I might mention it, garlic is one of the best things to take at night before you go to bed. I have a protocol to help prevent strokes and heart attacks while you sleep, and most people's stroke and heart attack happens in the middle of the night. And so I tell you to take L-carnitine and garlic capsules and vitamin C and high heat unit cayenne, magnesium from oxide and citrate, and vitamin C and vitamin E from mixed tocopherols. And I explain why all those are important, but that thins your blood, helps maintain with hawthorn a normal heart rhythm during the night, and that spaces the platelets so you're less likely to clot and have an ischemic episode. But garlic in and of itself helps lower blood pressure, and it helps kill bacteria, parasites in the intestine. So anyhow, you want it. Golden seal is also beneficial because it helps with your mucous membrane system, and it's useful against E. coli infections, which can cause severe and sometimes bloody diarrhea. And what is called GURMAR, G-U-R-M-A-R. It's very important as an Ayurvedic medicine coming from India. It's over 600 years old, and they use it when you have diabetes. Licorice is important, and milk thistle. And people don't realize milk thistle is one of the best single things you can give for your liver, especially if you've been drinking and or you eat sugar. So you want that in Siberian ginseng. Now, mind you, all of these I'm telling you, including pau d'arco, that herb from South America that enhances your immune system and has antifungal and antibiotic qualities, and philanthias, which is called life plant. It's been shown to act against hepatitis B. And it has wonderful antiretroviral and anti-HIV qualities. And red clover, which is very good because it's one of the best things to stop free radicals and help your liver cells. And St. John's wort, which is terrific, and Usnesia. And these are all just under the antibiotics. So if you needed a natural antibiotic, I just gave you a list of some of what's in just the one.